KCN, Talk Line Communications Network Radio, America's number one Jewish program.
What are we gonna do with our children? What are we gonna do to show we care? How are we gonna be there for our children when they feel that life has just not been that fair?
Good evening and welcome back to Mask's weekly radio show. Mask, Mothers and Fathers Aligned, saving kids of all ages, all stages. We are not just for young elementary age and high school kids. It could be married children, older family members. It could be for yourself, your spouse. We are a referral agency. Feel free to give us a call. Our helpline is open from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. every day. Friday to 2 hours before Shabbos, after Shabbos till 11 p.m., all day Sunday, 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. If you need any mental health referral, if you need a school for your child, if you need a yeshiva, any mental health, whether it's addiction or bipolar, schizophrenia, depression, eating disorder, whatever it may be, feel free to call the Mask helpline. It's confidential. You do not have to give your name and describe what's going on anonymously, and we will try and help guide you to the right place. Our confidential number is 718-758-0400. Again, I'm going to repeat our number. Maybe it's for yourself, a loved one. Maybe it's for your neighbor or someone you sit next to in shul. Please jot our number down. It's good to have. 718-758-0400. And May is Mental Health Month. So we are working towards reducing stigma. And any conversation that you can have with people, whether it's at your Shabbos table, friends, neighbors, talking about reducing stigma, making it easy, available, talking about it so that people that are maybe suffering with mental health issues would get the courage to pick up the phone. I mean, we are in our 22nd year. Over 50,000 families have attended our programs, and we're here to help you help your loved ones. If anyone wants to get a Narcan kit, which is naloxone, that is for a prevention of opioid overdose, feel free to call the helpline. We could arrange for a Narcan kit to actually be done in your home. If you don't want to come out to our office, then we can actually set it up that somebody meet you in your home and train you how to use the nasal spray Narcan prevention for opioids. For somebody maybe that you know, maybe somebody in your shul is suffering, so there should be one in every shul. So feel free again to call 718-758-0400. And tonight, we have with us one of my colleagues who has been just unbelievably available for so many families for the past 11 years, him and his partner, Shuli Halpert and Moshe Rosenthal, both from Gesher LeYeshivas. I want to welcome you on again tonight, Shuli. Thank you for being on with us.
Thank you very much. A pleasure to be on again. How are you?
I am good, Baruch Hashem. Thank you. A little cold, but Baruch Hashem, good. So, Shuli, let's talk about what is Geshe-Li Yeshivos? Maybe people out there aren't aware of it, and I'd like everyone to know what it is. If you can please tell us all about your organization, please.
Well, we're basically a two-man organization with no office. All we have is our phones, and for the last 11 years, we've been trying to help parents to navigate through the Yeshiva and Beis Yaakov system to find the best schools for their children in any type of situation where it may be. We do work with the mainstream, you know, boys and girls going into Mesifta and Beis Yaakov High School, boys going into Beis Medrash after that. We do very limited work, but we try to help also girls with seminary. But I would have to say that more than 50% of our work is done with those boys and girls who, unfortunately, for whatever reason, are struggling in school and need sometimes to either make adjustments in how they're going about their daily life in school, or sometimes they need to maybe switch schools to find a school that's better equipped to handle with whatever they're dealing with. And I have to say now that it's 11 years later that there might be more off the mainstream yeshivas and girls' schools in the United States than the mainstream, which is a great thing to be able to say that there's so much help out there. But on the other hand, the two things that offset that is that the street is getting crazier by the day, and it's just causing a lot of unrest in many homes. And also, and maybe rightfully so, the real mainstream yeshivas and Beis Yaakovs are so concerned about the craziness of the street that they are really trying to keep an eye out to sort of watch all of their students. And if they make a determination that maybe the student is either not comfortable the school that they're in, or sometimes they cross a line which everyone would agree should not be crossed, and then these children need help in being placed in other yeshivas. So it's sort of a difficult balance between keeping them in the mainstream and trying to find the right yeshiva off the mainstream, which, like I said, there's so many options today. You don't want to put a boy who could be very close to the mainstream in an off-the-mainstream yeshiva that's really on a much, much lower level, because he'll navigate downwards very quickly. And at the same time, you don't want to take a boy who probably needs a lower level off the mainstream yeshiva and put him in too high where he has no chance of being able to function.
You know, Shuli, you mentioned that the streets are crazier than ever. I remember when you started Geshe-Li Yeshivas, and times have changed from then drastically. I'd like you to explain from, you know, your point of view of what you're doing, how it's crazier than ever. For some of our listeners, they know they're going through things with their own loved ones, but then for some don't really understand for prevention reasons. I'd like you to speak about what is going on that's crazier than ever.
So, you know, I probably could speak a long time about this, and I wish I could say I was an expert, because every day when I start to think maybe I have things figured out, I meet a boy or a girl, and it really brings me all the way back almost to ground zero in trying to figure out what went wrong with this child, because all of the classifications that through my experience I've learned, they don't fit for this child, and it's just reinforcing to me that we really don't understand in every single case exactly what the cause was. And the reason I say that point is because so many times, and I'm sure you've had this in your experience too, we find parents who say, I did all the prevention, I've spoken to people, I never had a problem, and I followed the hadracha, and now all of a sudden my son or my daughter is struggling. What did I do wrong? And they beat themselves up, and the answer is, first and foremost, they did nothing wrong. Unfortunately, there's a gezeira out there in this generation which we don't understand, and it's above our heads, but sometimes things happen to the best of kids and without any explanation. And the best thing to do is to get the best hadracha on how to proceed. And when you're all finished and you have all your information, you can take out a tillim and just say tillim for, you know, your children, that you should have hatzlocha and have a lot of nachas from them. Just this week, you know, I had parents in my house, and, you know, this is a subject I've spoken to you about and to many people about over the years, is that every situation is different. Sometimes people will come in, it's their oldest child. They got six younger children in the house, and that's causing them personal grief because they say, I can't go through this because I'm going to have to go through it with each one of my children. And then the next night you'll meet a family that has five, six, eight kids, and with the first seven they had no problem, and they could all be married already. But now these parents who convince themselves, and maybe rightfully so, that they've done everything right, but the way they raised the child 20 years ago with their oldest child, things are different today. Like we said, everything, the challenges are so much more different that it may not work with this youngest child. And then, of course, you have the kids in the middle who sort of get caught sometimes with middle child syndrome, or parents who say, you know, I had no problem with my older children. Why is this problem happening now? And the answer is every single child is different. And that goes tenfold for schools. You may have a yeshiva that you have a great relationship with, and you send three or four boys there, and they all worked, and this one doesn't work. And sometimes, without taking a step back, you say to yourself, it's got to be the kid. The kid is misbehaving. He's frustrated. It's not our fault. He's doing something wrong, when, in fact, this particular yeshiva is not right for this child. So, you know, like I said, there's so many factors going on today. Baruch Hashem, we have help out there. But I see it myself in parents. There's a horrible fear. They're trembling inside. Number one, what did they do wrong? Number two, where do I go to get help to make sure I do things right? And once they even have the hadracha, do they really understand that everything they're doing is they're doing in the right way? And here, probably the most important is, when a child is struggling, boy or girl of any age, you got to get it knocked into your head. 99% of the cases, it's a long road. It's going to take time. You can't hope that in a month everything is going to straighten out. You need to get yourself in an emotional state of mind. I have a job to do. I was chosen to do a job with this child, of course, without chas v'shalom neglecting your other children. But with this particular child, I have to take my time, follow it right, be able to sort of accept the frustrations, and very much more often than not, you will see tremendous hatzlacha from these children.
And let's talk about MASC support groups and the benefit of these parents attending the groups. Parents, usually when they call for their child, and they don't realize that we as parents need to learn to do something different. If whatever you're doing isn't working, at MASC we say if you change the music in your home, your child's dance steps could change. So when Shuli says about that it does take a long time, the benefit of attending groups is so beneficial because parents learn what to do at these groups, but more importantly, what not to do. So anyone that's interested in attending groups, whether at MASC or other organizations, we have that information for you. Feel free to call the MASC helpline. Again, 718-758-0400. And yes, it doesn't take a month. It really could take years until a child heals, family heals, and the kid can be placed in an environment where they can do unbelievable again. But you need to be open and listen to what works and what everyone out there knows doesn't work in this generation that may have worked, like Shuli said, in the past. Shuli, let's talk about yeshivas now. You said about there are many more yeshivas, but I know parents call up all the time in when their kids are in eighth grade, and they said, we applied, and it's, you know, it's May, it's June, and we just found out my son is graduating eighth grade in a month, and now we have no high school for them. I'd like you to share your recommendations for our listeners about applying for high schools, please.
So the truth is, it's really the same for boys and girls, and now that we're coming to the end of the school years, I want to speak directly to the parents of seventh graders who are now starting to think about which high school or mesifta they're going to send their girls or their boys. The system, the way it's set up in the mainstream right now, is that right after Sukkot is when people start to really put together ideas to fill out applications. And it is very, very important to know that, especially if this is your first child entering that those age groups where we're thinking about high school. Don't push it off. Get as much information as you can between now and the end of Sukkot, and then right after Sukkot, if you're planning on keeping your child in a yeshiva or a Beis Yaakov that has its own high school, it does make it a little easier. The process is done almost automatically, where you just call the school and make sure you get a package for an interview for high school or for Mesifta. If you're planning on changing, or especially if you're in a boy or a girl school that does not have a Mesifta or a high school affiliated with it, you I have to speak to more importantly than everybody else, because getting into a new school now, right off the bat, you are behind the eight ball. If it's a school that has its own elementary school, they are going to take their own students first, and once they have figured out how many, then they'll realize how many slots they have left open. And usually, between siblings and everything else affiliated with parents in a particular school, there are going to be just some very few choice seats left in a lot of these schools. So you have to be there right at the start line when they start accepting applications from prospective children going into their schools. And you just can't wait. It shocks me every year, no matter how much word gets out there, that some parents wait till February or March, or say, I think I'm going here. I'll always get into the school that I'm in right now. I need not worry. And the truth is, that's not fair to the school. Schools are under tremendous pressure to try to first take care of their alumni. And if you're going to procrastinate and not give them an answer, and then a deadline goes by, every year I get parents, I was sure I was going, oh, I forgot to call them, but how could they do this to me? I'm a parent for so many years. And then they end up losing their spot, and then they're really in trouble. Because what happens is, unfortunately, anybody, especially girls, but I would say for boys too, anybody who calls a school after Pesach with an eighth grader saying, I'm interested in ninth grade for next year, that in and of itself sends a message to the school that there's a problem here, why this child hasn't been placed yet. And it just makes it that much tougher for parents to find the right school. Then you have parents who make decisions and decide to change in middle of their eighth grade, and they notify the school that they were already accepted in, I'm not coming, without having a solid guarantee from another school that they're going to accept them. And then what happens is they don't get accepted in the new school. The old school gave their seat away, and they are in trouble. Unfortunately, I'm sitting today on May 23rd with quite a larger number than I should of 8th grade Beis Yaakov girls here in Brooklyn who don't have a high school yet for September. I don't even want to go into the issue of emotionally how this affects those girls without blaming parents, yeshivas, or anybody else. This is a process that they go through that should be avoided at all costs. In today's world, especially socially, girls are always talking about what school I'm going to, what seminary I'm going to. It's part of their whole life of camp. And here comes this girl, and she's in the eighth grade, and she doesn't have a school to do. It's heartbreaking. And many times it can be avoided. I'm not saying in every case, but it can be avoided. You need to follow instructions. You need to reach out for help. Go to your rabbanim, ask them if they should give you an etzah. Our phones are always on. I can't promise that we help everybody. One thing I can promise is we eventually, within hopefully 24 hours, we get back to everybody and we can at least give them an idea of how we could help them. I can't say it enough times about this particular issue with high school, with all these schools. You know, when the boys get older and we're talking about Beis Medrash, it's a whole different ballgame. And the same thing is true for high school. If you want to transfer, there's a certain time of the year when it's a good idea to call another school about transferring in the middle of high school, and there's a certain time of the year that's a very bad idea. So you should speak to your rabbanim. You can call us. We'll try to educate you on what's the best way to proceed.
Shuli, there's another question that I have. A lot of parents in the summer send their kids to programs that they're exposed to things that are different than what they are in the environment of their yeshiva all year. And it's an issue because towards the end of the summer, there are, you know, young adults, even elementary kids, that then say, I don't want to go back to that. You know, they were exposed to English music. I'm not saying English music is good or bad. I'm nobody's rabbi. We're talking to the public, which means we have all the way to the right listeners, we have all the way to left listeners, and then we have down the middle. So I'm giving it as an example to a very Hasidic child that may go to a camp that is a Federation camp and they can't afford the regular yeshiva camp. And they're exposed then to other boys or girls with doing things that maybe during the year their yeshiva won't let. What's your feeling on that, about picking camps?
So this particular topic certainly falls under the heading of another issue that parents have to deal with that have a tremendous effect on how schools look upon them. Whether it's right or wrong, and in many cases it is right, schools gravitate to certain types of camps. We know out there that certain camps, certain things are permissible. Some other camps may be a little bit more stringent. The trick is to know your child, get educated on the camp that you're sending them to, because as you sort of answered in the question that you asked, 2 months of camp cannot only undo 10 months of a school year. It can undo a lifetime worth of work. Things change today with the craziness out there. Things change within a minute or two. That's how vulnerable all of our kids are. And I stress the word all of our kids. Don't talk yourself into it that you have raised a child that has such defenses up there around them that nothing can penetrate them. I've seen it so many times, unwillingly, where kids could get hopped up by either feeling social pressure and being want to be a part of a group in a camp, etc., etc. It's very, very stressful to watch this. And the camps really do their best to protect our kids. But we know, you know, it adds that extra responsibility for a camp that not only do they have their child, your child from 9 to 5, they now have them 24/7 for 4, 5, maybe 8 weeks in a row. And the camp says it's their responsibility to make sure that the kids stay safe, not only physically, but halachically, with everything else that goes on there. Many, many times, and I can say this openly, yeshivas and camps, on occasion, do have a kid in their classroom, a boy or a girl, that is leading a double life. It doesn't happen that often, but you may think this is the most kosher boy or a girl, and when you find out, sometimes it's too late, and it's devastating to the parents of that child. I get calls during the summer all the time where my son was asked to leave. What can you do? And, you know, camps are not in the business of accepting children just to throw them out. I'm not going to say that every single case the camps are right, but much more often than not, the camps know what they're looking for. They know that society in general, camp, things are more relaxed. There's more so-called playtime. There's more time off. And we know this also. When kids have too much time off, usually not good things come of that. Sometimes it can, but a lot of times we have issues. So you have to do your homework. The job of raising a boy or a girl in 2019 in our Yiddish community is a challenge, maybe like there never was before, if not so much with physical danger, but emotional danger, hashkafa danger, social danger, behavioral danger, which includes bullying, which now is not the time for me to sit and talk about it, but you have no idea what one kid can bully another kid verbally, and it can have a devastating effect on them. So you really, really need, parents don't get 2 months off just because yeshiva gives off for 2 months. You're right, but kids are in camp, and you really have to have your eyes open. Make that trip on visiting day. Talk to counselors. Talk to rabbeim. Be up to date on everything that's going on.
And with that, I would like to remind all parents, please start the conversation now. If your child is going to camp, please talk to them about safety, safety with their body. There is Yanky Hurwitz has a book out there. Please get your hands on it. It is so important. Don't let your child leave the camp without that important talk, because that mask, we get phone calls all the time about kids with inappropriate touch, and years later, parents find out and have no idea. So, Shuli, I want to say thank you to you for always being there for the Klal, for being there for mask parents, and Moshe Rosenthal, your partner, and the phone ringing in the background is Shuli's business. He is a businessman and does this as a chesed, both him and Moshe Rosenthal. So we're taking you away from your parnasa, your time, yash koach, and I would like to just wish everyone a wonderful evening, a beautiful Shabbos. Thank you, Shuli, for being on. And remember, always, hang in, hold on, and hug tight. Thank you, and good night.
Hi, I'm Rabbi Marty Katz, Executive Vice President of Just One Life. We save lives. Every day in Israel, panic and distress for an expectant mother in crisis. What does she do? Should she terminate? Who does she turn to? She is led and brought to the Just One Life team. We're able to give counseling. We're able to give funding. We're able to reach out a special hand to her, to her husband, and a baby, a bubbly baby, a cute baby in Israel. The special holy man is born. And we take pride. Three sets of triplets, a set of quadruplets, twins. I just came back from Israel. Get involved. 212-683-6040 or info@justonelife.org, and we'll take the email, or just Google the Just One Life website, www.friendsofjol.org. Click on it, make a donation. Help us be part of a mission that is truly saved many, many Jewish babies. Thank you so much.
TCN, Talkline Communications Network Radio, America's number one Jewish program.